All right, we're going to talk about a patriotic theme today. What the Lord laid on my heart is a declaration of dependence. I'm going to kind of look at how our country started and kind of where we are today a little bit and just kind of challenge us to, in one way, don't get so frustrated with things, because you can allow things that's going on around the world to get us frustrated. But also we know that, God is in control. And we need to do our part. The Bible says that we're supposed to be making his enemies his footstool. So we need to be involved in the things of God. You know, he says, pray that my kingdom come, will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I don't think it's like that right now. I think it's a little off base. So a couple questions I have for us. Number one is, have we, the people of the United States, declared our independence from God? I mean, from all outward appearances, it kind of looks that way sometimes. You know, we've kind of kicked God out of different things. I know I just saw some information. Oklahoma has brought back the Ten Commandments in the schools. You know, I'm New Testament. Ten Commandments is Old Testament. But when the kids kind of see that you ain't supposed to do certain things, I think that's a good thing. It kind of puts God, you know, back on the forefront and knowing that God's watching. So we're going to kind of compare where our country started to where we are today. Our great nation has forsaken the ancient path and taken the wrong turn somewhere. And as you hear this message, remember I'm coming at it from a strong Christian perspective. And my desire is not to offend some people, but to inspire us to action. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. That's not what we're about today. But I just want to challenge us to, you know, get better in the things of God, especially. Proverbs 14, verse 34, it says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. And we, as Christians, need to be people of prayer, people of action, going out into all the world and preaching the gospel. I know somebody came to me and told me about Jesus, and that's what changed my life. I was part of the problem, but now I'm part of the solution. And that's what you are too if you're a believer today. You're part of the solution, part of what God's plan is for the ages. So let's pray. Father God, we come to you right now. We thank you, Lord, for all the great and mighty things that you've done through this great nation, Lord. This nation is the best nation on earth. The things that we've done, how we've helped so many different people and different nations throughout time. But Lord, we've kind of lost our way, and Lord, we need to come back. Lord, we just pray right now for the sweet conviction of the Holy Spirit just to be on each of our hearts, Lord. Just challenging us to go deeper. Challenging us to do more. And Lord, right now I yield to that gift you put inside him. I want to use it for your glory, and I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and we bind up the devil in any way, shape, or form. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we're going to talk first about our foundational fathers. A couple of them especially, and then another person, just a couple quotes from them, just how God used them in helping to start our great nation. You know, I know some people discourage talking about politics and religions all in the same subject, but, you know, sometimes, you know, you just got to, I guess, do some things and try to challenge us. So I challenge us to hear today with the Spirit, not our head. You know, just what God is wanting to speak to us. So my message today is based on the premise that God had something to do with the forming of our nation. Now, some of this stuff's been kicked out of school. As in, you know what I mean? When they kicked God out of the school, they tried to take a lot of things out. They can't kick God out of school. If you put God in your kid's heart, God's going to school. You know what I'm saying? But nevertheless, we know that, and I'll be honest with you, some people, you know, they think teaching religion in school is good, but I guarantee you this, there's a few school teachers I know, I don't want them teaching about God. They're not qualified. They're not saved. So I do believe, though, that we need to bring, you know, back the reverential fear of God into our children's hearts. Not reverential fear of God is more of one of honor, and not afraid of God. We shouldn't be afraid of God, but we need to revere him and hold him in a high and holy place. And that's how we need to also do with his word. So my message is based on how our nation was formed. And see, our founding fathers crafted a document that governs our nation and is based upon Christian values. And here are two people that helped to form it, and as well as one who is a you know what an influencer is today? Well, the third one I'm going to talk about is he was a spiritual influencer back at that day. Okay, here's one of the quotes. "The future and success of America is not in this Constitution, but in the laws of God upon which this Constitution was founded." James Madison. He was considered the father of the Constitution, as well as the fourth president of the United States. So, the Constitution's good, and we need to honor it. And I'll be honest, it's a document that has brought our country. That's how we govern our affairs. You know, it has to be just like church bylaws. You know, that's how, you know, churches do their business. Well, the nation has a couple documents that they use, and those things have kept us, you know, on track for, you know, a lot of years. But what's the problem, and this is found in the next quote by John Adams, it says, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion." Now, he's the second president of the United States, John Adams. What he's saying there is the fact that the Constitution was written, much of it, by Christian people. And when you interpret it from a Christian worldview, you know what I mean by worldview? Worldview is how you look at the world around you. And when we look at it from that perspective, that keeps us on track. But the problem is that when people who are not born again, some of which are even anti-God, are trying to look at this document, you know, they're looking for loopholes all the time. Do you know somebody that always looks for a loophole? That's just the way they're wired. And they're always trying to find a way around the truth. And they just parse things and try to get that perspective. And so that was a challenge here. You know, that John Adams, he was a true patriot. And what he did for our country was really good. But he really kind of hit the nail on the head. Now here's another one. Maybe you've heard of Patrick Henry. He was an influencer back in the day. He was a spiritual man. Matter of fact, you know, he has a concordance that helps you to kind of understand what scriptures mean. He wrote one of those. So these people, you know, they really took a lot of time and took a lot of, tedious study into God's word and how important it is. It says here, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. For this reason alone, people of other faiths have been afforded freedom to worship here." So, what that's all talking about is the fact. Now, one thing about Patrick Henry, he was not for big government. He was not for kind of how the Constitution was put together, where the states all come together. He wanted to keep everybody separate. I mean, that was kind of his flow a little bit. But nevertheless, you know, the idea that we need to see is the fact that, you know, we have a great nation and we have a lot of freedoms in this nation. And we declared our independence. Matter of fact, we're celebrating that in a few days when we declared our independence from Great Britain. And I want to say it was all over. I think I read this. I might be wrong. All over a 2% tax. We were willing to rebel against the nation. How much tax do we pay now? How much tax do we pay now on things? I'm not calling for rebellion. That's not what I'm saying here. I just think we need to understand the idea that, you know, sometimes things have gotten a little bit out of hand. So how did we get to where we are now when we had such a great start? things have changed. Things, just like with anything, you know, nothing really stays the same except, you know, for God's word. Jesus says he's the same today, yesterday, and forever. That's why I really am a proponent to we govern our affairs by God's word. God's word never changes. And one thing that we've done is that our nation has lost its reverential fear of God. People aren't afraid of God anymore in the sense where they care what God thinks. I don't know about you, but I care what God thinks. Now, the scripture tells me some things about what God thinks. I thank God for the blood of Jesus, because when I am covered by the blood of Jesus, God thinks about me differently than when before. You know, what used to be a dirty old sinner, now I am saved by grace. Now I'm a child of God. Now I have a relationship with my Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. And so there's that idea of being accepted. I'm not rejected. Now, I was rejected in life sometimes. Anybody ever not? Has anybody here never been rejected? Nobody's spoiled here. Good. We've all went through rejection. And see, once we understand the idea of what Christianity is all about, you know, it's very important. Now, what we need to always hold on to is the idea that God's word never changes. So one of the problems with our nation is a word called erosion. Erosion. Erosion is the gradual destruction of something, little by little. You know, just like when water runs across the rock. I mean, that rock is hard. It's a lot harder than water. If I had a choice, if I was jumping off a cliff, I'd rather jump in the water than jump on a rock. The rock don't give. But, you know, we do know that it's been proven that water running across that rock over a long time will cut a groove. It'll erode it. It'll wear it away. And see, what's happened in our nation is there's been a lot of erosion. Now, we are from southern Iowa. We're not all flat here, are we? We have a little bit of hills. And I was raised a farm boy, and every now and then we'd go out and we'd disc up, or first we'd maybe plow. Back in the day, we had a plow, and we'd plow up the dirt, and then we'd come and disc it, and then get it kind of all mellow. And then we need rain. But when the rain came, and it was a ditch, it would wash all that good topsoil away, that black dirt. All the good stuff would be washed away and taken down, and, you know, we know how it works. It somehow, a lot of it made its way to the Mississippi River all the way, which is a long ways from here. But that erosion kept working. And so the only way to beat erosion is that we would plant a crop. Like if you're going to plant alfalfa, you just didn't plant alfalfa, because when the rain came, it'd wash things away. We always planted oats with the alfalfa, and the oats would root down quickly. And then roots would go down there, and it would hold that topsoil so that when it rained, it wouldn't wash things away. And so what we need is a people right now who have their roots going down into God and His Word to be able to hold this nation together. Because so many things, so many values have been eroded. I mean, you cannot hardly turn on the TV in certain stations where your eyes are not subject or your ears are not a victim to some of the things they're saying or doing on the television. Moral decay. And that's because of this erosion in our culture. Are we free to do so? Yes. We are free, and you know, we have a free will, number one, with God. We're a free will. We can choose to sin if we want to. And in this nation, what's been afforded to us is the fact that we can have a lot of freedoms where we can go and do whatever we want within reason, as long as it's within certain framework of the law. So our nation, you know, has fallen victim to the idea that everybody does what they feel is right in their own eyes. And that individual spirit is good in some ways, but it doesn't really fit totally in Christianity. Christianity is a family. Christianity is something where people come together for the common good of all, not just the common good of one. So it's a little bit different concept. And when we, you know, come together especially here to worship, we kind of sometimes check our individuality at the door. Meaning that when you come here, you're welcome to worship God any way you want, as long as it doesn't affect the person sitting next to you. That doesn't mean you have to sing on key all the time. There'll be a lot of us out of here, right? You know, but it does mean we have to be conscious of the world around us and try to make sure that we take advantage of the situation. So, does freedom to choose give us the freedom to do whatever we want? You know, I'm not personally surprised by what our government does. Like John Adams called it, he says, our Constitution was only made for moral and religious people. That's how things are interpreted. I mean, to be honest, I was not saved when I read the Bible at first. You know, in the process of me getting close to God, it opened my eyes to be able to come to Him. But when I first picked up the Bible, I might as well have been reading some of that in Greek. It was Greek to me. I couldn't understand it. I could read the words, but I missed the spiritual application of it because my eyes were not open. That's why Jesus says you must be born again in John 3:3, to perceive, to understand the kingdom of God. And so our forefathers, many of them who wrote the Constitution, especially the Declaration of Independence also, when we proclaimed our liberty from Great Britain, which was a big step. We were a little nation going after this big superpower. And we're telling them we ain't going to pay the taxes no more. We're not going to do that. We want to govern our own affairs. Well, when we did that, you know, it took a lot of faith, and many of them paid the price for that. And sometimes when you want to stand your ground, there is a price to pay. And so the Constitution was written by Christians, and when we try to interpret it, it needs to be done in that way. See, our Constitution does not rank anywhere close to the Bible, but nevertheless, it is a document that is best interpreted through the lens of God's Word. I'll be honest, when I was in school, I was not saved. And a lot of the things I read, like in the Constitution, it really never had a big impact on me. I didn't understand maybe some of the nuances and things that it's talking about. But after I became a Christian, it changed my worldview and it changed my perspective on how I look at this document and what it means for me as a person to be a good citizen. You know, we want to be good citizens in our nation, right? Our goal should be we only get one chance here. We're not Hindu, right? We don't believe in reincarnation. That's not an option. You get one shot down here and that's it. You waste it, too bad. So we want to do the best we can to glorify God with what He's given us. And I'll be honest, everybody has a little different size pile within reason, right? Some of you have a big pile of stuff and some people just have a little pile. But nevertheless, we're to be stewards. Stewardship is very important to God. And so we need to be good stewards of our nation and of the things around us because we want to leave it for our children and our children's children, right? But yet to do that, you know, we need to, and it's tough. We cannot legislate morality. I know, legislate that. I mean, there's certain laws we can pass to stop certain things. And, you know, there is laws that are for that. Now, some of the laws that we have on the books are not enforced. It's kind of pick or choose, and that's a problem. And we're going to look at that here in a minute. You know, so the idea of that we have, when we have immoral and unreligious people interpreting a document that meant freedom of religion and not freedom from religion, and that's the problem. You know, the idea of separation of church and state, it just meant it didn't want the state to control the church, and that's what they had in England. But see, we are a place where God wants Christian values to be part of our government on how they make decisions. And now we have done so many great things. I'm not wanting to diss our country all the way. Our country, we've made an impact on the world. I mean, especially even in a Christian culture, we've sent many missionaries all around the world. And we've helped a lot of countries who are impoverished, and we've given food and we've tried to give them things to make themselves better. And so we've done some great things, don't get me wrong. But what we've also done is that we haven't treated our own people well. We haven't treated our own people well all the time. We have three branches of government, right? We have the executive, the legislative, and the judicial. Those are three balances. And this is genius. They didn't want a king. They didn't want one person just to control everything. So they had checks and balances where you had the legislative and the executive and the judicial, and they all kind of kept tabs on each other so that one of them wouldn't get too crazy. You know what I mean? And get out there and just start making up things. So it has to be interpreted. But right now, the problem we have is that we have an executive branch that is more concerned about offending people who come into this nation illegally instead of helping citizens who struggle to make ends meet. Now, that's a political statement, and I'm sorry, but that's a truth. I'm the chairperson for the Salvation Army here in this county, and I know how many people are struggling to maybe pay their electric or their water and to keep things going. And all the things that go into that, with the inflation that we're in right now and all these different things going on, many people are struggling. And instead of trying to maybe fix some of these things, you know, we have people coming into our nation illegally, and then they just throw money at the problem. That's one problem I have with the government, is they throw money at a problem. Money is not the solution to all our problems. And here's the thing with that. If there is a law on the books that says you can come into this nation anytime you want, then that's fine. We don't have laws like that. We have laws that says you're supposed to go through a certain way. And see, I have this firsthand experience. In my life, I've done a lot of traveling, especially when I was younger. I did a lot of missionary work. And I would go into a lot of different nations. I did not sneak across the border. I had to go through a checkpoint, and I had to give them my passport. And when you go into a nation, sometimes you have only a certain amount of time you can stay in that nation. But I'm an American. Shouldn't I get to stay all long as I want? Well, look at all the good I've done for you. That don't work. They have certain rules in their countries. And we have them too. But what the problem is, they select which laws they want to uphold. What does God say about unjust balances? You know, you look at Lady Justice and you have, you know, them scales and they're supposed to be level. But they're not. When the executive branch chooses to only enforce some of the laws, that's unfair. And the way the executive branch, and they should be kept in check by the judicial, who interprets the law, and then the legislative branch, see, they're the ones who are supposed to make the law. That's how we're set up by our forefathers. It was a genius. It's the most genius thing I've ever seen in my life, I mean, far as how this was all put together. It was the hand of God. But see, when everybody does what's right in their own eyes, and we declare our independence from God instead of our dependence on God, is when we start to get into trouble. And the legislative branch we have now spends money like a drunken sailor. And they spend it on these countries that hate us, while we let some of our own people in our country just struggle. And I don't want to go into this too much, but that's just kind of how it's rolling right now. I don't know about you, but I live in a budget. We have a budget. I can't go print money. I just can't go spend money I don't have without paying the price later. And see, that's what's happening. And so it's just unfortunate, but we need to be better stewards. And then we have a judicial system sometimes that makes laws instead of just enforcing the ones that we have. You know, so this is the problem with the erosion in our culture. When, to be honest, when politics gets involved in the decision making, where it's either got to be a right or a left issue instead of a fair issue. We need to keep it so it's fair. And, you know, I'll be honest, our Supreme Court now, I like the way they're more conservative. But what I like is the fact that they don't always vote the way I would vote. That's why I know it's good. There are certain issues I think they should vote on just as being a pastor and how I look at things, but they don't vote that way. Why? Because there's more of them that are constitutionalists, and they look at how the Constitution was framed and they interpret according to what the foundational fathers said. Now, one of the good things is from our country, if you want to, you know, be a Muslim or you want to be a Hindu or you want to be what, or nothing, you can do that. In other countries, you may not be afforded that. There's Christians being put to death in their countries today in some of these Islamic nations because they don't agree. They believe in Christianity. They believe that Jesus Christ is real and he died for their sins, and they're put to death for that. Well, that's not the case in our country. You're free to do whatever you want. And what the problem is that when you have, you know, these, I'm foundational in the sense that I see that the Bible was the influencing book when they wrote the Constitution. It wasn't the Quran. It wasn't the Buddha Bible, whatever they got. It was the Holy Bible, the Christian Bible. So that's what I feel, because you have to look at it. Like, if you study the Bible, when you read a scripture, this is what you should do. Two things. There's more things, but I'm just going to make it down to two right now. Number one, what did that scripture mean for the person living at that time? That'll help you understand what that means. Then, what does that scripture mean to me today? But if you don't look at what it meant at the context of that time period, it's going to affect and maybe skew the way that you look at that passage today. So we have to kind of factor both those things in. And so it's important that we as Christians understand, and we need to get back to, now I'll be honest with you, and this is going to be harsh, but you know, our nation's turned into a hot mess. And if somebody wants to think they can make a, you know, use different religions to affect our decision-making processes, I'm against that. You know, I believe the Christian Bible, we need to stay with the foundational truth, or I guess kick the Constitution out and do something all over if they don't want that. Or the easiest thing would be for them to go to a country where that's how it's worked. Meaning, if you come to this country and you believe in Sharia law, where a family member can go kill another member because they don't like what they've done, that don't fly here in America. It does in Saudi Arabia, perhaps, or another nation. I encourage you to pack up your suitcase and go over there if that's how you want to treat your family members. But you can't do that here. You should go to jail because you can't go around murdering people. That's just the way it is, no matter how ticked off they make you. You know what I'm saying? That's just the way it works. As well as having the executive, legislative, and judicial kind of messed up, and here's the main culprit, is the media. The media manipulates us because they manipulate the stories to fit their own agenda. And here's what happens. We are told what and how to think. And I challenge you to test this. Some of you may watch the news every now and then. Depends what station you watch. And I'll be honest, I've cut back on the stations I used to watch because they're trying to tell me something from their perspective. You want to be happy? Turn the news off. I challenge you. Turn off the news for a month. 1 month. And just see how you look at the world around you in a different light. Because you're going to start thinking for yourself. I mean, I enjoy clicking on, I can't remember what it's called now, the Microsoft version of their Internet Explorer. And, you know, God bless her, Caitlin Clark. I mean, every time I click on that, there's always out of the because what it does, it cycles about 10 different stories. 40, 50% of them is about Caitlin Clark. And they're all coming from different angles. Why? She's the hot topic now. They're pro-Caitlin Clark. They're anti-Caitlin Clark. All this, all that. And it just tries to stir you up and get you in their cycle. Their crazy cycle. And that's what it is. That's what the media does. And we think for ourselves, we're Christians, right? Now, we're at the Holy Ghost. We have the Spirit of God that can lead us and guide us. And we got God's Word. And so we can't allow ourselves to be manipulated by a world of ungodly people trying to tell us what's important. So we do have freedom of religion, and that's what helped us to frame that. So, like I said, it's important to look at it from their perspective when we do that, so that we see it from a biblical worldview. So people can practice a religion in our government without government influence. That was the intention of our forefathers. So that's very important. Now, you know, like I said, when you go to other countries, now I have done some illegal things in other countries. I'm not going to mention what they are, but I think the statute of limitations have worn out. But I've preached the gospel in some countries that it was illegal. I knew that if I got arrested, I would probably have to pay some sort of price. I remember going into a Muslim country, but God worked a miracle for me. You know, I didn't have to go through customs. I bypassed customs. I had all these, I was young and dumb, you know what I mean? I was just on fire for Jesus. I'm going to a Muslim country. I'm going to pass out tracts, you know? And so I had all this gospel information, and God just worked a miracle. Here's all these people going through customs. They're tearing their bags apart. I'm just walking right through, just grinning from ear to ear. God got me through, but, you know, God's hand was upon that. I mean, I wasn't trying to do anything, I guess, evil against them people other than trying to get them saved. If that's guilty, guilty as charged. If preaching the gospel is against the law, I'm guilty. But I do know I could get in trouble for that. I've been arrested several times. You know, it wasn't nothing. I wasn't too concerned about it. They let us go within a little bit, but, you know, it's just kind of one of those things. But, you know, so when we go to a country, we have to abide by their laws. That's just the way it is. Now, let's get into the enemy of true freedom. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, in whose case the god of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So here we're going to see the enemy of true freedom. You know, many people think, you know, it's a Republican-Democrat issue or a conservative-liberal issue. And see, that's what the media wants us to do. They want us to hate each other. Hate sells things, you know what I mean? Negative advertising sells things. They hardly ever tell good things. Matter of fact, I subscribe to, I think it's called Nice or Nice News. This email I get, it just talks about nice things. Just for a change of pace. You know, it tells you about things going on. But see, what the problem is, you know, when we have differences of opinion, and that's how they try to pit us against each other. But see, Satan, what he does, he tries to get us to focus on our problems instead of seeing the big picture. He wants to see our little problem. What's going on in my world? Why am I, you know, why is this happening to me? What's this about? Me, 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 me. And when he does that, it takes us out of the game because we can no longer be effectual in our Christian witness. See, the Bible says that a natural man cannot understand the things of God because they're spiritually appraised. You know, so that's why it's so important, like I said, to be born again. You know, and when we look at things, I would imagine that most of us here would probably say, you probably have some unsaved friends. I would imagine a few of you do, right? Does anybody have no unsaved people in their life that they can, you know, kind of check out? But I would say probably on a lot of different issues, you probably see things differently than your unsaved friend. How you look at things. How things kind of, you know, fall into place. And so that's why, you know, one thing that I love, I love a lot of things, I guess, but I thank God for the Holy Ghost. He's the Spirit of Truth. He leads us and guides us. and helps us to get to the place we need to be. You know, how crazy our country has gotten in some ways. We started out, they started putting on our money, in God we trust. But do we? A lot of times it's in money we trust. You know, and that's what unspiritual, they put the money there. So Satan tries to get us to focus what we think is fair and not focus on what God says is just and how important it is, the justice of God. So what he's trying to do, and the same thing he did to Eve in the garden, same trick, used it over and over, works for him all the time. He's trying to get us to declare our independence from God. Eve, in the Garden of Eden, Satan tricked her and tried to get her to think that God's holding out on you, that you can partake of this revelation, of this fruit, and that you can be equal with God and you can know as much as God. Matter of fact, you don't really need God anymore. Why does Satan want us to do that? He wants us to rebel against our Creator. And we need to be a little bit smarter than that. You know, I remember one time, this one person was trying to flatter me because they wanted to steal me from my church. So they were trying to flatter me, and, you know, I was doing a lot of street evangelism, different things, and da-da-da-da, and all this stuff, and they was just really praising me up one side, down the other, and then he kind of said some things, and he says, how much you get paid to do that? I go, nothing. He goes, well, that ain't fair. You need to come be a part of my church, and I'll give you a little bit for doing that. Well, I felt right. I sniffed right through that one. You know, he was trying to flatter me to get me pulled away from where I was supposed to be by trying to hold a little carrot out there in front of me. And so that's what the enemy tries to do. He tries to get us to declare our independence from God so that we don't think we need God anymore. And so he wants us to no longer fear God, and that means to honor and respect him. So one thing most of us probably pray, I would imagine, but we may say we pray, but do we obey? Do we obey when God is leading us and telling us to do things? So, in God's Word, the Bible, is it the final authority in our life? And that's what we need to get back to be. Now, I know that not everybody's going to get there. I do know that. I do know that because of free will, and I'm glad for free will, I'm glad we're not all the same. I'm so glad my wife's not like me. I'm glad she's prettier than I am. You know what I mean? I'm glad that, you know, we're different in some ways. Sometimes I wish she's a little more like me, especially when we're going to go pick a restaurant. But, oh, well, I can't have it all. But, you know, the idea of, you know, what it means to have that free will is so important. Now, last passage I want to look at here is 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. And it's talking about who owns us. Verse 19 starts off and says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. So how free are we? I'll be honest. Technically, I've been honest with you the whole message. But I want to be honest here. You know, the idea of what it means to be under submission to God and how that works as a Christian. There are things that are legal for you to do as an American that you are not legal to do as a Christian. Two different sets of values. God's values are higher. So, just because it's legal to do, should we do it? Just because you have freedom in our country to do certain things, does that mean we should do them? And if we do them, what effect will that have on the people around us? Would it affect our witness? Would it affect our influence on them to try to lead them to Christ? And those are factors that you and I need to think of or think about when we go into this question. You know, Jesus came to set us free, and I'm free. I know that. We're all bound by sin and separated from God and, you know, doomed for destruction. But Jesus Christ came, and when we put our faith in him, we're free. But we can never be so free that we can do whatever we want. We were set free to do what we should. So there's certain things that we should do as a Christian that ranks higher than us, what we can do as an American. Number one, I believe that Jesus Christ has learned to be the Lord, or he has earned the right to be the Lord of our life. He's earned that right. He went to the cross. He was sinless. He was perfect. Never did any wrong. Never hurt anyone. But chose to lay his life down for you and me. And then through that life and then through his blood that was shed to be able to set us free from the power of sin. So to me, when I became a Christian, I made him the Lord of my life. He was not just my Savior. I made him Lord. That means he's in control. That means he's the boss. Have I failed him? Yes, I have. But I don't wake up every day thinking, hey, how am I going to, I'm going to fail Jesus today. I know he'll forgive me. You know, I'll just go do this a little bit. No, I don't think that way. I may stumble, but I don't stay down. And see, that's what we need to see. We need to see that we can just keep getting up, and we need to, you know, surrender our lives. We need to pray, Lord Jesus, take control of my life. I surrender to you. I want to do what you want me to do. See, a bond slave of Christ obeys him out of love. And so how do we apply this? First thing, you know, make Jesus the Lord of your life. I believe solely in Lordship salvation. You know, I just don't preach that, you know, Jesus died on the cross for your sins. You just got to believe that. That is a true statement, but I believe there's a next step. And that means you got to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Saying, Jesus, you're in control. I surrender to you. And surrender is not a sign of defeat. Surrender is a sign of victory. Because only we can step into Christ's victory is when we surrender to ourselves to him. And that's when we get set free. Number two, decide that God's word is the final authority in our lives. You know, we have to have something just like the Constitution. It governs our nation. Well, what governs us as a Christian? Well, it needs to be God's word. I know it's a thick book, people. I've read it. But there is certain things and principles that you and I can grab a hold of and learn about, and that can help us to, and you know, God's not trying to take the fun out of life. That's, when I was unsaved, that's how I looked at it. Well, God just doesn't want me to do anything that's fun. The things I thought were fun anyway. But see, once I became saved, then I could see, well, God's trying to protect me. He doesn't want me to get hurt emotionally by giving myself out to everybody willy-nilly. God is trying to spare me the pain. He's trying to guard my heart. He's trying to bring healing to my life. And once I understood the difference, but see, it was just a different way of looking at it. My worldview changed. I could see that, you know, by surrendering to him, I started to see the big picture. And number three, always remember that we were once sinners. Hate sin, but love the sinner. There's people around us struggling. They're struggling all around us. There might be people in this room struggling right now. And we don't judge them and put them down. Because why? Because we were once like they were. And we need to help them. We need to reach out to them and try to bring them in and show them a better way. The things that God, you know, wants to do through us. So we all live in these complicated times, and, you know, statistically it's called the post-Christian era. You know, if we looked at statistics, which I don't like to, but I, you know, we have to see the data. Christianity is on a downturn in many ways. The way people live their life. You know, people that maybe confess that they're Christian but don't really live it. And there's a difference there. But we as believers should never give hope, and you know, as long as there's a God, there's hope, people. We just need to keep praying. We need to keep doing what we're supposed to do. You know, the overcoming life. And we should never, you know, let our feelings get ahead of God's word. Don't go by how you feel. Go by faith. The Bible says you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. And Jesus is that truth. And what I feel is that our nation needs to again declare our dependence on Almighty God. We need to humble ourselves and pray and God will heal our land. But Pastor, what about everybody else? They ain't doing it. It doesn't matter. You're the boss of you. Right? You're the boss of you. You're not the boss of me. And I'm not the boss of you. It's our choice. It's our free will. Are we willing to say, God, I declare my dependence on you. God, heal our nation. God, help us to return to those ancient paths. Get us to the place that we need to be so we can glorify you. Amen? Amen. We can do that. And when you do your part and I do my part and somebody else does their part, hey, things are going to get better. But it's got to start with us. It's got to start with each and every one of us. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you that, Lord, we repent of our independence from you. And we just declare our dependence on you. Lord, we know that you alone are worthy and we alone are not. But Lord, in you, in Christ, we have been granted full access into all the things of God. Thank you for your blood, Jesus.